Father, we thank you for the promise of our future. As we open your word, open our eyes. Let us see more clearly what you desire for us and from us. Let your word come to life. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. There is a line in that song. I don't know if you caught it or not. It said, "I'm living my whole life for that day." I wonder if you are. I'm convinced that the saddest place on this planet the day after the rapture is going to be church. Think about that for a minute. The saddest place on this earth is going to be church, because it is going to be full of people who thought they were Christians. Turn with me to Romans. Romans 14. We're going to finish our survey through Romans today. And it's an opportunity for us to reflect on our lives. And are we truly living our life for that day? Because that's what God desires from us. Romans chapter 14, I'm going to start reading at verse 11. "For the scripture says, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God.'" I'm going to stop right there. One of the passages into adulthood is when you start worrying about insurance. If you're like me, I despise insurance, because you can't afford not to have it, and if you have it, you can't afford to use it. Right? You got to have health insurance. You got to have auto insurance. You got to have homeowner's insurance. You got to have life insurance. And if that homeowner's insurance, if you use that, what do? Cancel it. You've heard your life as a Christian, that a lot of people give their life to Christ as fire insurance. I'm telling you, there's no such thing. Okay? You cannot give your life to Christ and then go do whatever you want to and have that in a box somewhere to get you out of heaven, get you out of hell. That won't work. It's not real. If you've ever been told that, if you've ever been believed that, I am telling you, it's not real. Okay? There are churches today full of people who think they're going to heaven, and all they do every Sunday is they walk in and they check the box, "We went to church today," and then they go on and live their life. And they will not hear, "Well done," on that day. Look at verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12. "Yes, each of you will give a personal account to God. So stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall." I want to focus on this verse for a minute, because one of the things that, if we're not careful and we don't focus on, this is not the giving account that gets you in or out of heaven. Okay? I know I'm simplifying that way more than I should. This is not the point where Jesus said, they're Christians, they're mine. Okay? This is not that. This is when God looks at you and wants to know, what kind of Christian were you? This is what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? This is where you and I have to give an account of what kind of life we lived. This is not about our Christianity. This is about whether or not we lived a life that was honoring to Christ. This was about when you get up in the morning, what is your focus? What are you focused on? I'm going to be really honest with you. Okay? Because we've all had these days where you get up with the best of intentions and you get to the end of the day and you realize, I didn't think about God at all today. I didn't pray today. I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't spread the gospel. I just was about me. This is what that verse is referring to. You got to give an account for that. Y'all know when you had kids and you sent them to the store for something and you gave them money and they came back and you want an account, right? I need whatever I sent you to the store for and my change. Right? Where's my change? This is that account. God is going to look at you and He's going to say, I gave you all of this. And whatever all of this is in terms of your resources, your talents, your time, and He wants an account. What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Because how big your bank account is, how big your house is, how important of a job you had, how prestigious a title you had, does not matter. It doesn't matter. None of that is anywhere in Scripture. Look at verse 14. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's wrong. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. What Paul is dealing with here is, it must have been a Baptist church. Because some of them is saying, we're going to eat this food. There was food set aside. And some of the people said, you can't eat that. Don't eat this. You can only have that. And Paul is saying, you're missing the point. All of it. You can eat all of it. But if it's wrong for you, if you think it's wrong, then it's wrong. You probably haven't had that issue, but I bet there's been issues in your life where you're trying to decide whether or not it was right for you to do whatever it was. Go whatever it is, drink whatever it was, do whatever it was. Have you probably had the struggle, do I tithe off of net before taxes or do I tithe after taxes? What Paul is saying is, in this scripture, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Okay? The Holy Spirit will lead you. And what you should be focused on, what I should be focused on, is living the life that God wants me to live. And not pointing fingers at somebody else about how they're wrong and I'm right. Because, you know, when we point fingers, it's never about them being right and me being wrong. Right? We always like to point out how they're wrong. Because it makes us feel better, right? Paul's saying, don't do that. Focus on verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Drop down to verse 20. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable. But if it is wrong to eat something, if it makes another person stumble. Verse 21. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with it for you are doing, but keep it between you and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty about doing something they have decided is right. Some of you need to underline that verse, because this is a place where Satan likes to whisper in your ear and make you feel guilty for doing what is right. Verse 23. But if you doubt about whether or not it's right to eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. This is the standard Jesus put forth. Remember? He said, you don't have to do it. But if you think it, you did it. Now, I'm going to get in y'all's kitchen, some of you. Okay? Because some of us like to say, well, I thought it, I might as well go ahead and do it. The laughter is conviction there, right? I already did it, I thought it, so I might as well go ahead and do it. I mean, I'm already guilty. No. Okay? No. Two wrongs don't make a right. Your mama told you that. I know they did. She did. Two wrongs don't make a right. Chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate for those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scripture says, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. What Paul is telling you and I here, Jesus could have done all kind of things and not sinned. But he didn't, because of his influence. Most of us are old enough to have come up with what my grandfather instilled in me. Okay? And that was, the only thing you have as a man is your word. That's it. That creates your reputation and who you are. And so many of you can remember when a day when you could make an agreement with somebody with a handshake. And that was better than any legal contract you could have gotten them to sign. Because that's all you needed, a handshake and a word. My grandfather, if he told you he was going to do it, that was concrete. It didn't matter what it cost him. It didn't matter what he had to sacrifice. If he gave you his word, that was it. That is what we as Christians are supposed to be. Because what we are is a reflection of Christ. And good, bad, or indifferent, the world loves to look at us and find flaws so they can say, you Christians are hypocrites. I've been called that more than once, and you know what I said? You are right. You're right. But God isn't. Because what the world loves to do is tear us down so they can build themselves up. What we have to do is what Paul is saying is focus on living for Christ. Focus on being the Christian that he wants you to be. Because remember, there is coming a day, aside from your salvation, when God wants to know, what'd you do with what I gave you? What'd you do? What kind of life did you live? What did you accomplish for the kingdom? Not yourself, for the kingdom. What'd you accomplish? Look at verse 5. 15 verse 5. May God, who gives the patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other as it's fitting for the followers of Christ. Bob and I talked about this morning. There is no place that will tear you down more than church. I guarantee you that you, like me, have been treated worse in your life by people who called themselves Christians than people who were not and didn't proclaim to be. I can almost guarantee it. We can't be those people. We have to be the people that Paul is talking about, of wanting to live in love and harmony. We are not always going to agree. I can guarantee you, in the last 3 years, there have been more than one occasion where I've disagreed with Bob and Bob disagreed with me. But at the end of the day, we love each other. And we can find common ground when you stop looking at yourself and you start looking at God. Look at verse 14. I am fully convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well you can teach them to each other. Even so, I have been bold enough to write to you about some of these points, knowing that all you need is a reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ to the Gentiles. I bring you the good news that I might present you as acceptable offerings to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you and us. Because, like I told you last week, God brought us together as this church for a reason. We're not here by accident. We're not here by coincidence. We're not here to be comfortable till He calls us home. What we're here to do is to fill all those empty seats around you. Because one day, you're going to have to give an account. And God's want to know, what'd you do with what I gave you? What'd you do with the talent I gave you? What'd you do with the abilities I gave you? What'd you do with the money I gave you? What'd you do with the time I gave you to make the kingdom better? Because this life, unlike what our society teaches us, this life is not about retiring well. Did you hear me? This life is not about retiring well. This life is, as my great-grandmother used to say, and she lived it so well, I want to wear out, not rust out. Some of us are rusting out. We're just an old tool that's set to the side, and we think about the glory days of when we did all this stuff. Many of you can remember when this room was full. Why is it not? Paul closes Romans. Look with me at chapter 16, verse 25. Now all God's glory to you, who is able to make you strong. Just as the good news said, the message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plans for you, the Gentiles. Remember, that's us. We're Gentiles. Unless you're Jewish, you're Gentiles. Big Jim, you're not Jewish, are you?
No.
Okay. He's a Gentile. A plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and the eternal God has commanded, this message has been made to all the Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey. Verse 27, all glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. At the end of today, can you look back and say, I live my life today for God's glory? Because let me tell you something. If you are here breathing, most of you are breathing, God's got something He wants you to do and somebody He wants you to touch. It's the only reason you're still here, period. Okay? If you're a Christian, you've given your heart to Christ. We've settled that. Now we're working on what Paul said at the beginning. You're going to give an account for what you do. And the only reason you're still here is because He's got something He still wants you to do. And so the choices we make on a daily basis decide who we're going to serve. And what He wants from you and I is the obedience, Paul said, the obedience to live for Me today. Don't think big picture, okay? The worst Bible, if there's a worst Bible, the worst Bible that ever came out is that one that says you can read through it in 365 days. And it gives you a little section to read every day. Okay? You know why that's the worst Bible? Sets you up for failure. Because day one, two, three, maybe even four, you're doing really good. You get to five and you start, and you miss six, and you read part of seven, and then you skip 3 days, and by the time you get to 30, you throw your hands up and go, I'm too far behind. What God wants from you and I is today, period. Remember, he said, you don't have tomorrow. Yesterday is over. Forget it. Tomorrow, you don't even have it. So live today. And the question you and I have to answer is, what are we going to do with those choices we have to make throughout a given day, and who are we going to serve? Think about that, and I'm going to close with this.
So each day, from the moment we wake up, we have choices to make. Some choices are simple, basic, trivial, while others require more thought and consideration. Now, some choices can change the course of your day, while others are nearly meaningless. But as we walk through the next 24 hours, there is one choice we'll make over and over again. Who will we serve? It's a choice of priorities, dedication, faithfulness. It's about choosing to live out the call God has placed on all of our lives, to take each step and live each moment for His glory. Today, there are never-ending opportunities for us to make an eternal difference in the world around us. We simply need to decide to do so. The choice is ours.
Choice is yours. What are you going to do with it? Stand with me as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how we've seen you through this book of Romans, and how you have made a way, and how your grace changes everything. Father, I pray for each of us as we focus on Paul's words, reminding us that it's not about just giving our lives to you, it's about living our life for you. Father, we love you, and I pray for each heart in this room. I pray that we make choices that glorify you.